You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 69. And we have a guest for you today, Trish. Now, Trish is in Brisbane, same place, Brisbane, Australia, same place that we're podcasting from, though, of course, we're each sitting in our separate homes and offices and didn't actually meet. But, we're sharing a very rainy day here in Brisbane on a public holiday, ECHA, which is our kind of national rural show day. I think that kind of describes ECHA. ECHA stands for Exhibition Day, because for those of you that don't live in Australia, Australians like to shorten and familiarise everything. So Exhibition Day becomes ECHA. Anyway, it's ECHA Day and we're working. And Trisha's got a beautiful, very short but symbolically powerful dream, which we get right to the bottom of. And I'm sure that you're going to enjoy that interpretation and alchemy and lots of insight for everybody along the way. And I just thought I might mention, for those of you listening to this in real time, in other words, we're recording this in early August. So if you're not backtracking through past episodes and you're actually listening to this on release day and you live in Brisbane, there is an event coming up that I'm speaking at on, I'm looking through my notes here, on Wednesday the 25th of August. So if you're interested in coming along to that and hearing me speak and meeting me afterwards and you live in Brisbane, just drop me an email and I can give you more information about that. Okay, right, on with the really exciting stuff, on with Trish and her dream. Here we go. Welcome to the show, Trish. How are you this morning?
Look, I'm great, thank you, Jane Theresa. I'm good.
I know you're in Brisbane too, and it's pouring with rain at the moment, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I was going to the ECHA this morning, but I've decided not to go. I wanted to catch public transport because I think that's a good way to go, but I've decided, after seeing your information this morning about three things I should do, set up my dream journal, look at what is it I want to do, and at the moment I can't remember what the third one is, but I'm certainly motivated to do that.
That's great. So you're gonna take advantage of the rain and sit in and catch up with your dream journal and really, really get going.
Well, set it up. I've done it before, but I remembered that you have the dream journal, so I'm going to set it up and do it so that when I wake up in the morning, I can come straight to the computer and set it up and do it. So I've got the steps there available to me.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, so it becomes part of the routine. It's nice and easy. Yeah, and I should remind everybody listening at this point that in the last week or so, Mac users can now use that eDream journal. So it's for everybody, which is really, really good. Well, we're going to start off powerfully, Trish, with your new resolution here by looking at one of your dreams. So what have you got for me?
Well, I've got one. I've started to keep a good journal, and some of them got a lot of detail in it, but the one that I'm most intrigued with is a very short one, and I'll tell it to you, shall I?
Yes, please.
Okay, right. I dreamt that I was in a house at the bottom of the house, and it felt like I was the director of a movie, and the camera was scanning through the rooms, and I was looking at the rooms in this house, and it felt like I was the director and holding the camera. And I went up the stairs and went through the house, which was a number of stories in the house, and I was intrigued with the same old-fashioned wallpaper that was on the walls as I went up the stairs and went into different rooms. And it seemed that I was looking for something. Now, as I speak to you, I get a sense of that. But I came to this room at the top of the house, and it had a little hole in the wall that, on further investigation, and it was like I was directing this movie, I looked in and came closer, zoomed in on it is a better word, zoomed in on the little hole in the wall to see that it was, and this is the dilemma, that it looked like an either a block W or an E turned on its side as a block, or one of those old-fashioned keys that you have for an old house that sort of looks a bit like an E or a W. And I remember looking at this and thinking, what is inside there? What is the answer? What am I looking for? And I woke up remembering I'd had this dream before.
Mm. Do you know how long ago you had the dream before, or was it just a sensation that you'd had the dream before?
Yes, it was just a sensation that I'd had the dream before.
Right.
Yes.
But your feeling is you may not have had it. Was just that kind of feeling at the end of the dream, like I've been here before.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Wow, stunning dream. Very interesting. Couple of questions first, as always. You know, a lot of your dream, as you say, you were the director in the movie. Is this a pure dream symbol, or do you have any involvement in making movies or using a camera in your life?
No.
No, so it's completely a dream symbol.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Now, this wallpaper, this old-fashioned wallpaper, are you able to describe it any more, what colours or patterns or what it reminded you of?
Yes, it was old. It was like the flower patterns of maybe material of a dress, but it was sort of like, it might have been, I'm trying to think, it might have been small flowers that might have been something like fleur-de-lis, but I'm not sure because it was very old and faded.
Right, okay. And did you ever have a fleur-de-lis pattern on a dress or on furniture when you were small or anything like that that you can remember?
No, nothing that strikes home to me. Nothing that. But yes, there wasn't a lot of detail there.
And if you, without even thinking about it too much, if I was to say to you, oh, what kind of era was that fleur-de-lis pattern from? Or what, you know, when does it date to? Without thinking about it at all, what instant answer would you give me?
Oh, I thought about the
1930s, 40s. 1930s to 40s.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And any main colour that it had in it as well?
It was faded. It was very faded, but I would have thought blue.
Blue, but faded.
Soft powder blue.
Mm. And how did you feel about that wallpaper in the dream? You know, what kind of emotion did it give you?
I think it was a bit mixed, really. Like it was quite nice to see something that I seemed to have a feeling of comfort or reassurance from. That was the pattern, but the fact that it was old and faded, I wondered what that was about.
Mm.
Because I guess I have seen that pattern before. I'm of an age group where you would see that pattern, and it's usually so lovely.
Mm.
And it wasn't.
It wasn't as lovely as it usually is.
No, yeah. No, it wasn't. It wasn't, yeah.
Okay, these are all great responses because these are all going exactly along the line that I imagined you this from listening to your dream. So this is fantastic. Okay, you've got a situation. And remember, Trish, that the dream always reflects what was going on for you in the 24 to 48 hours before, both consciously and unconsciously. So when did you have this dream?
In August. So it was probably about 2 weeks ago.
So,
yeah.
You know, as we go through this interpretation, we're particularly looking at what happened for you 2 weeks and 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And the essence of this dream is you start by bringing a camera into a house and you're getting a really close look and you become totally captivated by this wallpaper. You go up through the house and it's kind of like you're zooming in on the house and eventually you see the hole in the wall and you zoom in on that and you're getting into a sort of, you know, examining more and more closely
yes.
from the pattern in the wall to the hole in the wall and the key to all of that. And even at the beginning of the dream, it's like you start with a distant shot and you come in towards the house, you're taking the camera. And anytime you're behind a camera, it's really, to an extent, you're taking an objective view. You know, you're
yes.
looking at the house and everything in the dream through the eye of a lens that's quite objective. Let's see what we've got here. But by the same token, you perceived yourself in the dream as being the director of the movie. And, of course, the director can choose what to look at and, more importantly, can create the movie that, you know, you're going to create. So in a sense, there's this idea in the dream, this feeling in the dream that you're both looking and examining something very, very closely, but with a view to creating something perhaps a bit different, you know, maybe creating a happy ending at the end. So we've got these two things going on, looking objectively at something and then saying, as a result of what I can see here, what can I do with this? And that's really the question
oh,
at
okay.
the end.
Okay. Yes.
So In the day or two before this dream, it's highly likely that you were looking at your life or some aspect of your life and actually being in a state of being more prepared to look more closely at some patterns in your life. That's like the patterns on the wallpaper, and really think, now, let me really look at this closely. Let me really examine this pattern. And if I can really see what's happening deep down inside me, then I may be prepared to direct a change, to create a change. So there's a real sense there of reflecting that readiness when you had this dream to really sort of get down to brass tacks and make a change. So that's kind of like, you know, the background of the dream. And what I really love about the wallpaper and your description in the dreams is that, you know, you said that it made you feel comfortable and reassured on the one hand, and yet at the same time a little bit uncomfortable about that. It was like there was a conflict. I feel reassured by this, but I don't really like it. So what you've got there with the wallpaper is a sense of, this is a pattern within you, probably a pattern of seeing things or a pattern of thinking or a pattern of beliefs that is very, very comfortable and reassuring. In other words, it's part of your comfort zone. You know, we all have our comfort zones.
Yes.
But in the dream, it's a real turnaround point dream. In this dream, it's like, okay, I'm really looking at this comfort zone pattern that I've got now, but I'm kind of ready. I'm kind of feeling that I don't like this anymore and I'm ready for a change.
I think that that's, you've hit the nail on the head, really. I think that that's captured it quite succinctly.
Well, that's good. So we can go a little bit more deeply.
Yes,
and you perceive this wallpaper as belonging to about the 1930s or 1940s.
Yes.
So that's most likely in a dream when you get a year like that. It doesn't actually mean the 1930s or the 1940s often. It'll often mean the 30s or the 40s. So it may be that this dream is about what was happening for you in your 30s and 40s.
Yes, that'd be right.
Yeah.
I made major changes in my life.
Okay.
Absolutely major changes.
All right, so this...
Late 30s, early 40s.
Late 30s, early 40s, so it's a spot on. Okay. So those changes that you made in your life then, Trish, in your late 30s, early 40s, created a pattern, and that's represented by the wallpaper in your dream, created a kind of comfort zone that worked for you then. And I don't know how old you are now, but at this stage in your life, you're looking back on that and going, yeah, look, that was great. That was my comfort zone from my late 30s to my early 40s. But now I'm ready for a further change.
Okay. Well, I had a sense that this dream was sort of a bit telling me things a bit like that, but how to work it out is another thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's right, except that I'm a bit scared, really, because I'm older now. I'm 20 years older than I was in that dream, that age. And so you're looking to see whether you can do it, whether it's right, whether it's what. Yes, you've got a number of things to think about.
Yeah, that's right. And we've got it all. We've got lots else in the dream that can help you with that. So that's really good that we're on track with it. So it's normal and natural, and I congratulate you for being prepared to make big changes in your life, such as you did it when you were in your late 30s and early 40s, and such as you're considering doing now, and hopefully that you will continually review it for the rest of your long life. You know, the problems come for people when we get stuck in comfort zone and we basically just sort of sit there decade after decade after decade, and it's all very nice and comfortable, sort of, but you know, when we really admit to ourselves, we think, feel a bit stuck, really. And it takes a lot of courage to step out of comfort zone, as you did that back then, and as you're considering doing now. It takes a lot of courage to step out of your comfort zone and do things differently. But when you take that courage and you make that step, you know, what you really do is broaden the zone. Instead of living in a small comfort zone, you step over that barrier, over that limitation, and you find yourself living in a bigger space where you can, you know, do more stuff, feel more stuff, be more stuff. And
well, you know, yes, that's just wonderful, really, because I suppose that's why I was attracted to your dream site, was because you don't meet people like me very much in your life. You don't meet fellow travellers much because of the world that you live in. So it's really, you know, very, very helpful to have this opportunity to hear you help me.
Oh, that's fantastic. So there'll be lots and lots of people listening in, Trish, who'll be going, yes, yes, that's me. I'm with you, Trish. I'm a traveller. I'm stepping out of comfort zones continually. And so they're going to be not only listening very carefully to your dream, but even though you may not know who they are, they're all out there and supporting you and enjoying this. So that's really good.
Oh, well, that's comforting.
Yeah.
That's very comforting.
So you're going up in and your wallpaper was powder blue too. So what kind of feeling, if you were to wear powder blue clothes, how would that, what kind of image do you think you would be projecting?
Oh, one of calmness and peace and some affection, some sense of sort of like delight or joy, really. This is, I've had some lovely experiences with powder blue dresses, of wearing them and feeling and thinking and being told that I look lovely. So yes, I'm very fond of powder blue.
Okay, so that's lovely. So this wallpaper, this powder blue wallpaper, which is old comfort zone and is an old pattern, is nevertheless one of the aspects of it that you do like, is this feeling of it looks good on me. I've had a lot of peace and joy when I've been wearing this colour. And, you know, probably you want, as you step over that comfort zone, you want to take peace and joy and don't I look good? In other words, this is my real self with you, while leaving some of the other aspects behind. So you enter the house and you start at the bottom. Now, a house, particularly a dream house, it doesn't look like a house that you've known. And this was a dream house, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. A house that's just a dream house will often represent you, your mind, you know, and then the various rooms in the house can represent different areas of your mind and your body, really. So you come into, from the outside, you come into the house with your camera. So what you're doing, first of all, is coming right into your own mind in the stream to look closely at it. And you come in at the bottom of the house. So it's kind of like, almost like coming in at the physical, material, everyday level. You know, we greet people usually through the downstairs, you know, on the ground. So, and then as you go up through the house, what you're doing in a sense is going up through the higher levels of your being, your mind, your emotions, even your spirituality, just going up and up and up and up and up. So you're in this dream tracing this pattern, this old comfort zone that you initiated in your late 30s and early 40s of kind of peace, joy, comfort. This is my true self, but nevertheless, I'm ready to step beyond this now and take some of the good with me. And you're bringing it right up to your highest level of being. And that is the best place to make a change in life. You know, if you can make a change, whether that's in your mind, in your unconscious beliefs, or in your spiritual understanding, then that change can then filter down through the various levels of your being, right down to the material, physical, everyday. That's your body, your place of work, your material things, your possessions. You know, what we manifest in our life in the material world, as I know that you know, is a reflection of what goes on upstairs in your mind and your soul. And I'm laughing at myself because I'm actually describing this to you with my hands. I'm pointing to the ground and pointing to my head, and nobody can see me.
No. But you're emphasizing the point to me, and I can hear that in your voice.
Oh, that's good. That's great. So it's really, really important then that we now zoom in, as you did in your dream, to what it is in these upper levels that you need to know that will enable you to step beyond comfort zone and to be the director of your own life, to direct a new outcome, just as if you were directing a movie, you would direct the ending that you want to have. Right, so you're the one in the control, you're the director, and we've brought it up to the level of this little hole in the wall. Now, a hole in the wall upstairs, we've been inside the house in the dream all up until this point, but one of the things about a hole in the wall is that you can, and I don't know if you could do it in the dream, but it's a hole in the wall means, could you see through to the outside, or was it like into a cavity?
Oh, it was like into a cavity.
Right, okay, so it's almost like it's going even deeper. Like we can see the walls, and this is something deeper than that right up there. And the basic structure and fabric of your being. And the big question up there was it and you called it a block E? Did you mean like a capital E by that?
Yes. Or a W, because you could have seen it as a W, or like an old-fashioned key Like I got one from my father for my 21st, and it was an old house that we had some association with, and he got it plated in gold. And when you turn the key on its side, old-fashioned keys, they've got sort of like that thick block that looks a bit like block if you hold it up and lay it on its side.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, that. Yeah.
Yes.
That's really interesting. Okay, that adds a lot to the dream. Now, when you describe a dream and you describe symbols in your dream, often your unconscious mind has a really good go at putting a few clues in there. So even though the old-fashioned keys did look kind of block-like, you've actually told me in telling your dream that this may be a block E or a block W. So you've told me that what you found at the top of your house is a block. Mm. And we're going to go into it in great depth, but
like a mental
block, an emotional block.
Yes.
In other words, probably a limiting belief. So this is fantastic. This is great. We've now just got to do the detective work to work out what this block is, and we've got several clues there. One is the letter E, one is the letter W, and we know it's a key that we can unlock this block, and that's good. But the other big clue you've given there is that it relates to the key that your father gave you on your 21st birthday that is significant about a house that you were associated with.
Yes.
So it's likely that this block that you've got, that in this dream you have come to say, okay, enough, I'm going to undo this block now, may relate back, and we'll do the E and the W in a minute, but may relate back to either your 21st birthday, what was happening when you were 21, or more likely the house that that key represents. So can we go back, and what can you tell us about the house that that key represents?
It was my father was of English and Irish parents, and I grew up in Christchurch in the South Island of New Zealand. And we were born and raised in Christchurch, but he had long associations with his father's side of the family at Lyttelton. And he had a relative there, I think it was a grandfather, who he was very fond of. And the key to that house was the key that he had, I don't know how you call it, but it was golded or whatever you do with it. And it was a representation. For him, that key to the house was lovely for him. And even though I didn't know his grandfather, I knew what it meant for him. And I'd spent some years as a child going there and visiting with him and the rest of the family. So it had nice associations for me.
Yeah. So lovely associations for you of your father's grandfather and the house that you used to visit when you were little.
Yes.
And completely and all absolutely nice associations, no challenging associations.
No, not really. No, and it was given with love and affection. Mm. And it was only the other day I was thinking, I suppose I've lost that key, as you do on journeys gone. But yes, I remember that key.
Mm. And your 21st birthday, was that a happy time for you?
Yes, it was. Mm. It was. My parents were very pleased that I had a 21st, and it was probably a very traditional 21st for many families around the world. You know, there was a band, there was a party, there was guests, there was dancing, and there was, you know, good food to drink, and it was certainly a time of great enjoyment and pride.
And pride, did he say?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, my parents were very proud of me.
Okay, and that made you feel really good.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And was the grandfather very proud of you as well?
Yes, he was.
In later life, was pride or people not being proud of you or people being demeaning of you or putting you down, did that become an issue later in life for you?
Oh, well, it did, yes. With both of my marriages, it did, yes. And I don't think it was... it's hard to say whether it's part of the era or whether, you know, but you could say that.
Look, even if it was part of the era, it still hurts, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You carry those, journeys. Yeah. I suppose the defining thing would be, for me, as I now begin to this journey, is that you didn't do that, Jane Teresa, in that era, I don't think. You never asked for things as a woman, as a young woman. You accepted the things that were there, and it never crossed your mind to ask for something better.
Mm. Yeah, that's so we're really into it now, aren't we? This is and I'm just going to bring in what you said there exactly. The key in your dream, and particularly because your father had gilded it, presented it in gold or whatever, really meant that he'd, you know, really made it something precious. And so that key in your dream represented that key. That key represented people being proud of you, and in return you having good self-esteem. It represented all nice memories. It represented to some extent your heritage through that side of the family. It represented all things good. It represented happy times. And then, as you say, and even as a girl during those times, you were fortunate enough to be given a loving family background and love and pride and all the good things. And so you didn't have to ask for anything because you already had all the good stuff, which was lovely. And then in later years, as you say, partly the sign of the times, there were issues with your marriages of not getting the esteem that would have been good for you, and again a sign of the times, not being able to or not knowing how or being empowered to ask for
that esteem. And part of that was not being valued
exactly. So this dream that you're having now is all about looking at the higher levels of your mind to find the block which you can undo, final stages of people, or let's say not only other people valuing you and giving you self-esteem, but you, all, you know, you unlocking the last block so that you allow yourself and give yourself full self-esteem and self-value and self-worth that you have lost, or that, you know, that you lost a lot of in your two marriages. And I know, I can feel speaking to you, that you have already done a lot of work on this, and that's the center of the dream, that we've got to the top of the building, and this is like another block. So it's almost like if I can use this key at the top of this dream, it's like unlocking maybe just one last thing that's really going to take me back and restore that lovely feeling of, maybe not having to ask because everything's just given to me, the love, the esteem, the self-value. I want to unlock the block that has in my life since blocked my access to that. This key is the key that gives me that back.
That's very good. Yeah. That's very good. That's absolutely spot on, really. That's, that fits it very well.
So although the actual key that your dad gave you, when you put it on your side, it did look like an E, and I can picture that from a lot of the old keys, and I'm sure everyone listening can picture it, an E or a W, it still came through clearly in your dream. So we're going to have a little explore of E and W to see if we can work out what blocks they represent that you can use this key from your childhood to unlock. So particularly because they were capital letters, maybe, I don't know. I'm sure you've already...
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
And blocks, yes.
Have you already thought about whether they're anybody's initials?
Well, yes. My first husband's name, his first name begins with E. So it could easily be that.
Good.
It's quite a strong, powerful figure.
Yeah. And the W?
So... No, I don't have any thoughts or associations with W. Can't think of anything that that it would represent.
Mm.
I
was kind of expecting you to say, E was my first husband and W was my second one. So we drew the blank at the second one, but we got the first one. And of course, you know, it's not actually your husband in the dream, but it represents that the E represents that period of time when you began to lose that natural sense of self-esteem and value. So there will be another event, because in the dream you saw the E first and then the W. No, that's not true. The W might come after the E, but because in the dream you were kind of going backwards, the W event might have been before the E, before the first marriage. It may come to you. I mean, it may be as simple as it's wedding. I don't know. But I feel... What do I feel? I feel that it's either a person's name or an event. But it'll come to you later. And
Yes, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will.
That makes a lot of sense. We don't need to delve any deeper with realizing that that's when the block started, because it did. So I think what I'd like to do is first of all ask you a question about Are you able to give any indication about what happened a couple of weeks ago to really take you to this next step of readiness to move up to the next level of self-value and self-esteem?
I'm in a job that's quite challenging, and I think it may have somehow started some of this, in that I'm reviewing where I'm at. The job is very challenging, and I'm contributing to making change within the organisation, which, as you probably know from the work that you've done, it requires enormous skill and expertise to do it. And you have to know what you're doing, like you do with dream analysis. Mm. But there's no visible rewards in any way. Mm. And it's only the years of experience that I have in other jobs and my own imagination and my ability to do some things in a particular way that has taken me down this path. But it's made me think, if I can do this here, I can do other things. What am I doing this for someone else for? And why can't I do it for myself?
Yeah, good thought. That's a wonderful thought, and it's that very, very empowering. And you're obviously, as you've described there, so competent and more than competent at what you do that you can translate that and use it, you know, to your own, not only to your own benefit, but to take things further without being hampered by committees and other people.
Yes, and I feel that the difficulty for me is that I don't have an ego in the work that I do, and I'm not interested in ego, and I'm not interested in being a star, apart from the fact that I'm too old for that anyway.
Oh, no, I'll take that one away from you. You're never too old for anything. Okay. But anyway, yeah, no ego is good.
Yes, but the work is about making changes, significant changes, and that must always stay at the forefront of my mind. And it's very difficult when people want you to take a step forward, when I don't feel that it's right and it doesn't sit with me in terms of my own values. Mm. But what I do want is some valuing and some understanding, or even some mentoring or something that acknowledges and recognises, and some support, really.
Yeah.
So,
is it like the kind of support that you had from your grandfather and your father in your early years?
Yes, and some valuing of the an acknowledgement of the work that is being done, because it's not just for me; it's benefiting an organisation, and ultimately many others who will benefit from the ripple out effect.
Mm. I love the fact there that, you know, you mentioned that you that your situation at work is nevertheless one that you can steer and you can create to some extent, and it's all about making changes in the world, and you can do this on a much bigger basis and directed by your own wishes if you're working for yourself. But that's very much the director role, is, you know, it very much reflects the feeling in the dream of you're behind the camera and making objective observations.
Yes.
But you also know that you have in your hands the power to create and direct a different outcome, both at work and, you know, for yourself. So, you know, those symbols are all there. It's sort of your unconscious mind is so aware of that and knows that, and it's just releasing this block. Now, I know you can't give the name of your work, or you wouldn't want to, and I don't know what it is, but does the W come in there anywhere?
No, it doesn't.
No. Personal boss or anything with a W?
I'm just thinking about that, and nothing rings a bell really that means anything. They've got quite different letters, and there's no one there that would have a thought.
It'll come up when it dies and go, oh yeah, I've
yes.
got that. So.
Yes.
Right, so what we want to do then is on many levels is we want to use some alchemy to allow you, if you agree with this, to allow you to unlock that block and use that key so that you can bring back the kind of sense of self-value that you had when you were younger, and that endorsement and pride that has been taken away, and which you have been gradually rebuilding over a period of time, and which has recently become pertinent at work. So you can unlock that so that you are then in a powerful position where you can decide either to continue with the work that you're doing now, but funnily enough, find that because a block has been shifted in you, a block is also shifted at work, and you keep the same job, but suddenly you find yourself being acknowledged for the work that you do and being able to make the kind of contributions that you make while being valued. You know, that's one outcome of alchemy. Or another outcome of doing the same kind of alchemy might be that you then look at work and you say, no, look, I, you know, maybe comfort zone, but I'm ready to make a change now, and then either do that part-time or full-time or whatever. You know, the practicalities are things that occur to you once a block is removed. So what we want to do is remove the EW, lack of self-esteem, lack of value block, to bring back the feeling of full support and I am a valued person and I can make a valuable contribution which is acknowledged back into your being, so that we reverse any unconscious limiting beliefs which are stuck on value blocks. And then the result of that will be that, you know, you will move through your days in the next few weeks, and you will find yourself making decisions that feel good to you, and or you will find that things have changed at work. Is that what you'd like to do?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, so that makes it a really simple dream alchemy practice to do, Trish, as far as I can see. Depending on what you think, I reckon. You're good at visualizations?
Yes, I'm quite good at it.
Yeah. So I reckon that we get you to be standing at the top of the house in your dream, and to actually find that you've got that golden key back in your hand, and that you find that it magically fits the slot in the hole in the wall, and that,
oh, how wonderful, what a wonderful thought.
Yeah, and you just turn the key and it moves so easily. So all we've got to do then is decide between you and me what symbol or picture you're going to get at the end of the stream alchemy when you turn the key. So we could have something like your father and your grandfather and all the people that represent value and love and esteem being there hugging you. Or we could bring up a symbol that represents something that, you know, the next steps that you would like to take in the world. What do you think you would like to have in this visualization once you turn the key to represent having full value and acknowledgement and self-esteem?
It's always about, you've caught me, really. It's always about love, isn't
yes.
it? So it's always about expressions of love and attachment and self-fulfillment, really. And I know that that's quite broad, mm. and we need to narrow it down a bit, but I just can't think at the moment.
So if we follow your train of thought there and say it's about love, it's ultimately about love, would it feel good then to turn this key and have your grandfather and your father hugging you and saying, it's all about love, go forward? Or are there issues or things that make that feel slightly uncomfortable?
Oh, no, that's fine. Yes, no, that's fine.
Okay, well,
because it is about freeing up, isn't
yes.
it? Yes. Yes.
And I was worried about using a symbol from the past there, but if we enable
yes.
them to say, it's all about love, go forward, take it with you, that takes it into the now and therefore into the future.
Oh, yes, I see what you mean. No, look, that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Okay, so
yes.
we're going to start this visualization not at the beginning of the dream, but at the top, in that top room where you see the hole in the wall. So are you ready to go with this?
Yes.
I'll take you through it once. Okay. So here you are in your dream at the top of that house, and behind you, the powder blue, old-fashioned wallpaper, which has already faded, just completely fades away. And in its place is a beautiful gleaming gold. All the walls in your house are beautiful, warm, loving, supportive, valuable, warm gold. And you can feel that all behind you. And look, what's this you see? You see that little hole in the wall, and it looks like an E. Just put your finger on the E and, oh, look, it's brushed away, it's gone. And there's a W. Oh, put your hand on that. brush it away, it's gone. Look, there's the key, the gleaming golden key that your dad gave you on your 21st birthday. So pick it up, feel it in your hands. It's got the same feeling as the golden walls in your house, so warm and supportive and loving and valuable. And put the key into that little hole in the wall and turn it. And notice how easily it turns. It's just been waiting all this time just for you to turn it. Once, take the key out, look through the hole, and all of a sudden, your father and your grandfather are standing with you, and they're hugging you, and they're giving you a message, and you hear the message in words, but more than that, you feel the message in feelings. And the words that they're saying to you and the feelings that you're feeling are these. Here is all the love, Trish. Love is the most important thing. We gave you love and support, and we still have it for you. You can feel it. Take it forward with you. That's your key. We wish you many blessings.
That's just wonderful. I'm quite overwhelmed by that. That's just wonderful. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Very moving. Yes, it's lovely.
So with all Dream Alchemy, Trish, you know, the idea is to do it 30 times a day for 2 weeks. And then just twice a day for as many weeks after that as you'd liked. And that twice a day is really like morning and night. But basically any time where you just feel like, I'll have a bit of that now, please. You can do the visualization. Now, I wasn't watching the clock. I had my eyes closed when I did that for you. But I guess it was probably about, well under a minute. So
okay.
Once you get practice at doing that, it only takes you a minute to do. You can do two or three at a go, or you can do the whole lot in one go. When you hear this one, we're recording this today, and today is Wednesday, and this one will go live on Friday. So you'll be able to listen to that or record it in your own voice. But I think you've got the picture there really nicely.
Yes, well, I've been taking notes as we're talking, so... I will be able to very quickly get back to that visualization. That's wonderful.
That's fantastic. Okay.
So when I do the 30 for 2 weeks,
yes.
I will mark it. And I could do them in 10 time slots, but do it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I expect to see some changes after that?
The biggest work is done early on, and even though you were probably aware that you were, you know, being recorded for a podcast, some of the work was just done in what I did for you there, and the rest is increasing reinforcement. And, you know, that's not an excuse for anyone listening in to kind of slacken off. You've got to finish your 2 weeks. But the best work's done in the early days. And because of that, you may begin to see subtle results within the next few days. And it'll be things, Trish, like you might notice little synchronicities. You might just catch yourself doing something or saying something or feeling something just a little bit different from usual. Now, over a period of time, these will build up into big changes. And a few weeks down the track, you'll probably look back and go, oh, wow, there's been quite a big change here. I must let Jane Teresa know. But the wonderful thing to do is if you get a little notebook or open up a file on your computer, or even just carry around a bit of paper in your pocket too for the early days. And just any time you notice the smallest difference or a synchronicity or just the slightest thing, just bullet point it on your piece of paper, you know, and later if you wish, put it in a file on your computer. And then review that at the end of each day and just notice how many very, very subtle shifts have occurred, you know, and partly maintaining an awareness of all those subtle shifts is also part of the alchemy, part of the magic.
Wonderful.
And as soon as you really start to see, you know, the big changes coming in, either just email me personally and confidentially, because I always want to know and share your successes, and or at any point where you feel comfortable and you want to share, you know, some of those results with our listeners or through the blog, you know, let me know that too, and I can update people.
That's wonderful. How exciting. How wonderful to be part of your collective, really. That's just lovely. I'm so grateful.
Thank you, Trish, and I'm very grateful that you put your hands up and asked to come on the show, because it's not only, you know, benefits you, but it benefits, you know, so many of our listeners at now across 26 countries. And so, you know, you have made, in terms of value, you have already made a valuable contribution, or you will on Friday when this goes out.
Yes,
thank you for your contribution. It was really fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing all this with us.
Thank you.
Well, I wonder what that W means. Michael's thoughts straight away, as soon as we stopped recording, was maybe W is for work or for worth. Hey, maybe it's even for wealth. But I'm sure that Trish will get back to us sooner or later when the big penny drops there. I meant to say in the intro that I also want to bring you an update from Suzanne, who was our podcast guest in episode 45. I forgot to mention it, but I'm sure that you're all still listening. And I did blog Suzanne's update, and it's quite funny because I had it sitting here and I've just realised that it's got some overlap with Trish's dream as well. So here we go. This is Suzanne's update, and Suzanne was my guest in episode 45. Suzanne had dreamed of a prickly cactus obstructing her way in her dream. There was mud to one side, rocks to the other, and no shoes to protect her feet. And we discussed her dream on the podcast, and of course you can go back and listen to it on episode 45. And now Suzanne reports, and she said, "At the time of the dream, a teammate at work was as prickly as a cactus, a real impediment to our progress, just like the cactus in the dream. Our work path felt prickly, muddy, rotting, murky, stormy, and unclear. He's since left the team. It's a 180-degree difference, and I learned after he left that he made everyone on the team feel like we weren't good enough." When you do alchemy, things shift, and for Suzanne, the energy at work shifted, as well as the teammate. When your inner world shifts, your outer world reflects the change. And I've often witnessed clients and podcast guests experiencing changes in personnel and team structures at work when they do alchemy. As we become more conscious of challenges and conflicts, they begin to resolve at a subtle level and everyone moves on. So here, back to what Suzanne emailed me, and she said, "I'm realizing, as you said in the podcast, that my being barefoot in the dream was a good thing. I had thought it was a mistake, that I needed better protective footwear. You said that being barefoot was grounding, and I didn't realize it, but I was really in tune with something going on with this teammate, and it was when I was listening to the podcast again that all this fell into place. Work had just stunk, and I guess I didn't want to admit to myself that it was so bad. Now that he's gone, and other people have talked about how good it was that he left, I can see it better. And now I can see so many little symbols in the dream that related to the ambivalence, impediment, and sorrow. What you said in the podcast about emotional debt, that someone does you a kindness and you end up paying 100 times more, and how this is related to having no boundaries, well, the team is working directly on setting boundaries, knowing our worth, and acting in accord with that. In the podcast, we also talked about my ex. Well, he was not only not rigid like my father, but he was also muddy and ambivalent. I wasn't sure if he really loved me or not. I never really knew where I stood with him, and the same went for my cactus teammate." Now that Suzanne can see the similarities between her ex and her teammate, she is clearer about the way she used to respond around these energies and is now freed to respond differently. As Suzanne puts it, "I was going about life at work feeling inadequate, like I did with the ex, basically paddling myself with the cactus paddles all the time because I was never good enough." In a recent dream, Suzanne found herself back in the same location as the cactus dream, but with positive changes, reflecting her progress with the alchemy. She said, "In the new dream, I was upper level, in a stone room with a great view. I know I'm not at the final destination, but it's better. And although I haven't taken off yet in the plane, like my alchemy, I can really feel it's possible and coming. I now know I'm just fine and worthy of a first-class seat." So there you go, that's Suzanne's update. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, it's really simple. All you have to do is email me and say, "I'd like to be a guest on the show," and we take it from there. I'm sure you've heard me describe on past episodes how simple it is. And in the meantime, if you'd like to have more, you know, get more resources, free resources, or contact me professionally for a consultation, go to my website at www.dream.net.au or to my blog at janetheresa.com or join me on Facebook. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week for what will be episode 70 of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.